It's really good to be with you. Thank you for your welcome. I know these are kind of testing times, but well done for pressing out and being out. I know we're going to talk about comfort zones in a few moments. Actually, I think all of ours have changed, haven't they, over these past 18 months? Things that we were once comfortable with and easy with, now we just have a different regard for and different consideration, which is probably wise in most cases. So that's very appropriate for us. I wish I could be with you this evening. I think we should pray for Ruth as she tries to sort Dave out with an appropriate costume for tonight. And I don't think you'll need to wait till next week to see the elders humbled. I think just come this evening, and I think that will be sufficient for you. I remember a couple of years ago, did you have the churchy kind of sing part of the Messiah? Yes, well, I did that from scratch quite a few years ago, went to the Albert Hall, learnt it from scratch and joined in. And it was a friend of ours who kind of sponsored that for us to go and do that. And in the break, his wife, who'd been partaking of the beverages too much, actually, she came up to him and said, "You're all doing ever so well, considering you're all singing in German." Well, it wasn't. It was English, but it obviously wasn't really being translated that well to her ears and whatever. I know this is a time when we think about Christmas, the incarnation, but I do think it's really appropriate that we talk about the issue this morning, love with no borders. Love with no borders. As you consider your kind of vision and mission to love God, to love one another, and to do mission together, there's no really more appropriate time than the incarnation to think about love bursting through borders, whereas Jesus left the glory of heaven to come down and to come a servant and to die on a cross for you and me. That's a brilliant example, isn't it? If we're thinking about safety, then anyone who could have kept very safe was Jesus. But he came down and made himself nothing, took the form of a man and a servant, and came and died on the cross for us. So it's good for us this morning to be thinking about, where do we need to break out a little bit? Now, I'm not talking in terms of the pandemic. I think we should be appropriately cautious. I know that you know my wife, her cancer has come back, and she's having weekly treatment for myeloma cancer. Actually, the treatment is going well, which is good news. So the myeloma is abating, but she has to continue weekly chemo right the way through till about March. So we're being just a bit careful, because we'd like to have Christmas with some of our family, all of our family, and we're hoping that will happen. Well, let's see what happens. So I'm not saying that we should need to be foolish, but I do think sometimes we stay within comfortable boundaries, and God wants us to move out beyond those comfortable boundaries. Sometimes we stay within our prejudice. We don't like that sort of people, or we don't mix with those sort of people. And sometimes when you see pictures like the refugees or the people crossing the channel and so on, you can kind of think, well, what's happening? What's going on? I guess like with the 5,000, where they were whole hungry, and the disciples said to Jesus, what are we going to do with these people? Let's send them away. And Jesus said, no, you feed them. And sometimes we have to have our own hearts challenged. I sometimes, like you, maybe go past people who are begging, and it's always a bit of a challenge for me. What do I do? What's my attitude towards these people? Do I judge them? Do I already kind of decide that they've got enough money, but they're just after more, or they're going to spend it all on drink or gambling or alcohol or whatever? Do I make those judgments, or am I more open to the leading of the Holy Spirit in what I do? Those sort of things are challenges for us all. And sometimes we see a group of people. My grandparents, my grandmother, especially in Liverpool, I was raised in Liverpool, she did not like the Japanese people because of the war, basically. But I remember in conversation with her, she said, oh, I wouldn't trust the Japanese people. And yet she was a Christian lady. Just and I also know a chief executive at Woking who was not Christian. He was an atheist. And part of his testimony was he had a grandmother that was so bigoted and racially prejudiced, he thought, if that's Christianity, it's not for me. So it's a good time of the year for us to be thinking, if God broke through the boundaries to come as a man, then what boundaries do we need to break through? What borders do we need to cross? What in our heart, our attitude, our reaction needs to change? And we're going to look at Acts chapter 10. And I'm going to kind of read the story in a kind of a shortened form, but it's still the whole chapter. Right, it would be 48 verses, but I'm going to not read 48. But this is a watershed moment for the church, for the gospel message. So it's an important thing for us to do. So I will read the story to you in a slightly abbreviated form. Acts chapter 10. In Acts chapter 9, Saul has been kind of met Jesus on the road to Damascus. He'll become Paul, the great apostle. Peter is traveling around Israel, and he's healing people. He goes to a place called Lydda, and there's a guy called Aeneas there, and he is someone who's been paralyzed for 8 years. And Peter actually is then heals him, prays for him, and heals him. And Peter moves on then to a place called Joppa, and there's a lady there called Dorcas. And she's a wonderful lady. She makes things for the poor, and actually she dies. And all the people who she's made things for are sitting around her body. And Peter is invited in, and he sends them out, and she's raised from the dead. So the church is moving forward. There's mission, there's signs and wonders. And then we still find that chapter 10 doesn't kind of just drop off. It now moves the gospel and the church into a different dimension of mission and opportunity. Acts chapter 10. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius. He was a Roman centurion. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day he had a vision of an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius? Cornelius was afraid and asked, what is it, Lord? The angel answered, your prayers and gifts to the poor have been noted by God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. So Cornelius called two of his servants plus a loyal soldier. He told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. As they were approaching Joppa at noon the next day, Peter, who was staying there, was going up on the roof to pray. He was very hungry, and while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles and birds. Then a voice told him, get up, Peter, kill and eat. No way, Lord, Peter replied. I've never eaten anything impure or unclean. The voice then said, do not call anything impure that God has made clean. This happened three times. And then immediately the sheep was taken back to heaven. While Peter was wondering about all of this, the men sent by Cornelius arrived at the front door and asked if Simon Peter was staying there. Peter was still thinking about the vision when the Spirit said to him, Simon, some men are looking for you. Get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I've sent them. Peter went down and said to the men, I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come? The men then told him about the godly centurion Cornelius, who was respected by the Jewish people who knew him, and then about the angel telling Cornelius to send for Peter. Peter then invited the men into the house to be his guests. The next day, Peter and some believers from Joppa went back to Caesarea with these men. Cornelius was expecting them when they arrived the following day because he'd already invited relatives and friends to his house. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet. But Peter made him get up. "Stand up," he said. "I'm only a man myself." Peter went further inside and found a large crowd. He said to them, "You know, it's against our law for a Jew to associate with or visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without any objection. Why did you send for me?" Cornelius told Peter about his vision and why he'd sent for Peter, saying, "It was good of you to come. And we're all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us." So Peter said, "I now realize that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right." Peter told them the good news about Jesus, the Lord of all, and how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. Peter told them that Jesus had been crucified, but God raised him from the dead on the third day. And Peter and many others had seen the risen Jesus and also eaten and drank with him. Peter said, "The Lord Jesus commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. Wow, can't you just feel the excitement of that? The Holy Spirit came on everyone who was listening to him. Peter and the Jewish believers who had come with him were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles who were now speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "There is no reason at all why these Gentile believers cannot be baptized with water. They've received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So we order that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ." Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. What an amazing story. I know I took a bit of time reading it, but it's good that we get back into these stories, the dynamic of God being on the move. And the church is on a mission. Why is the church on a mission? Because God is on a mission. And our comfort zones need to be changed. As I said earlier, we've had to adjust our comfort zones, haven't we, because of the pandemic. What we felt comfortable doing, maybe we feel less comfortable about doing. I was with Pam and we were at Ashford Hospital. She goes in to get her treatments. I go to Tesco. I'm not a great shopper, but I go into Tesco. But I'm noticing last Friday, all the people who should be wearing a mask who aren't wearing a mask. And I'm thinking, why are they doing that? And, you know, I'm reasonably confident and, you know, positive, but I'm thinking, oh, they should be wearing a mask. I'm not feeling too comfortable here. And it affects us. But in some way, as Christians on a mission, we shouldn't be retreating into a comfort zone. We should be breaking out of our comfort zone, or even our prejudice, or our bad thoughts or judgments against other people. The Acts chapter 10, this passage I just read to you, is full of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So is the incarnation. During this period, read the gospel message about Jesus being born. It's full of the Holy Spirit. It's full of visions and angels and all sorts of things. And that's what's happening here. There's visions, there's angels, there's words of knowledge, there's trances, there's voices, there's people getting baptized in the Holy Spirit, there's people speaking in tongues. Isn't that wonderful? When the Holy Spirit moves on us, we cannot stay the same. Isn't that true? That's the way it should be. Christianity without the Holy Spirit is in danger of just being a religion. It's the Holy Spirit that witnesses that we are the people of God. He empowers us to be witnesses, to love. The Holy Spirit pours the love of God in our hearts that then can be poured out to other people. If we don't have the Holy Spirit, then sometimes the love of God becomes something more mechanical or just theoretical. Whereas the Holy Spirit truly lets us know that we are the children of God and we cry, Abba, Father, you love me. And when the love of God is poured into our hearts, then we love others. We love because he first loved us. And when we receive the love of God poured out into our hearts through what we read and through the application and ministry of the Holy Spirit, then that love will break out beyond our prejudices, beyond our judgments, beyond our familiar areas, beyond our comfort zones. God often tips us out of our comfort zones. We think we have him sussed. Peter thought he had God sussed. Do you understand? He was a good Jew, but now he was a follower of Jesus. There were miracles. The kingdom of Jesus was expanding. What Jesus told him to do, go and preach, he was doing. There was healings. There were people being raised from the dead. And yet, he still had to learn something new. Isn't that a challenge for us? However long you or I have been a Christian, there is something more. There might be something different. It will be in line with God's word. We can be led by the Holy Spirit in doing it, but it might be something different. In fact, Peter is told in this passage to do the opposite of what he's been doing all of his life regarding food. And sometimes we might be told to do the opposite of what we've been brought up to do. And we thought that was part of Christianity. And God says, no, that is not part of Christianity. You thought it was, but it's not. Read my word, receive my spirit. There's a new thing for you. Something that causes you to move away from something where you thought you had God in a box. This man called Peter, a man of faith, a man of great sermons, signs and wonders, he has to move out of his comfort zone. We've had a Jewish Pentecost. Now we're going to have a Gentile Pentecost. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit's going to fall on Cornelius and his friends and family with him. God has always wanted to reach out to the Gentiles. The gospel's already started to seep out there. Philip, he went to a city in Samaria, and that was mixed race people. They were almost like half Gentiles to the Jews. That's why the Jews and the Samaritans didn't get on very well together. But he goes there and there's revival. And then he speaks later on to an Ethiopian eunuch who he baptizes. So there's already some signs that God is reaching out beyond the Jewish people. Now this barrier that's been there is going to be crossed authoritatively by an apostle to advance the kingdom of God. He's going to have to put away previous practices. He's going to have to get rid of presuppositions. And he's also going to have to deal with prejudice. And maybe God wants to speak to you about that. As a church, as an individual, sometimes your practices have been this way. Sometimes Pam and I have been challenged. We think, well, Christmas, that's a family time. But now and again, our girls are grown up and married and they've got in-laws. So now and again, we've been by ourselves at Christmas. So we thought, well, it's not a family. Let's invite somebody else. I'm not saying that's a grand thing. Lots of people do that. But for us, it was in some way not just working with our presuppositions or our normal practice. We may need to break out of what that is. These things need to be broken down. And there's some good lessons for us. And note here, even Cornelius, who's an outstanding man. Do you know, if he lived in your road, you would think, he's a great guy. He's godly. He prays. He gives to the poor. He's got a good reputation. Do you know, even he had to cross a line. What was that line? He had to trust in Jesus Christ as his Savior. And maybe that's something that we need to think about. That people out there, they might look okay. They might be wonderful people. But the truth is, as evangelicals, what we believe in the Bible is, unless a person believes in Jesus, unless they are born again, they're not part of the family of God. And it's not us making a judgment on them. It's what Jesus said. You must be born again. He said it to Nicodemus. And what happens with this man, Cornelius, this outstanding man, he must be born again. And when he's listening, because all the kind of normal procedures we would have, he's just there listening. And as he's listening to the gospel message, he believes and he's filled with the Holy Spirit. Isn't that amazing? Brilliant. We wouldn't put things in that order. We'd want to counsel him for a little while. We want to say, you're a good man, but you're not saved, brother. Right? Well, as he's listening to a sermon or an explanation about Jesus, as Peter shares it, he believes and the Holy Spirit comes upon him and all the others. Let's not put God into a box, and let's not put ourselves into a box, and let's not put other people into a box. The Holy Spirit will move as he wants. It's like the wind. He'll blow as he wants. What barriers are to be overcome as God moves us and his kingdom forward? Well, I just want to go through some things from this passage just quickly that I think can help us. The first thing is this: we need to meet with God. This is our start. When we meet with God through his word in prayer, we meet a God who is on mission, a God full of compassion. When we look at the crowd, sometimes we say, send them away like the disciples. When Jesus looks on a crowd, he might say to us, you feed them. He might expect us to do something about it. Jesus saw the crowds, they were harassed and helpless, and he had compassion on them. I've been in some great crowds, I've been in some nasty crowds. And when I've been in nasty crowds, often been at football matches. I've been to a football match and there's been a nasty crowd and I'm kind of thinking, God, how do you love these people? And that can be so self-righteous, because the first question, God, how do you love me? How can you love me? That's the first question we should be asking. But sometimes we just kind of see, listen, what's our heart to be? It's to be the heart of God. We need to meet with our God. Not hold to our own positions and just have God kind of approve our position and our attitude. We need to meet with God and get his heart. And that's what happens here, both with Cornelius, when he's praying, he meets with God, God send an angel. Peter, what happens with Peter? He's praying, he's hungry, he goes into a trance, but he meets with God and God shows him his heart. Brothers and sisters, we need to meet with God. Read God's word. Pray. Spend time before God. Just let him touch your heart. God speaks. He challenges us. He did the same to Abraham, to Moses, to Elijah, to Nehemiah, to Paul. They had to have confrontations with God, and God had to change their minds about things. And God maybe wants to change our mind about things. The next thing is, we need to be open to more supernatural or greater revelation beyond our previous experiences. Sometimes we think, well, that's God. I've got it sorted. I've got my faith. I've got my Christianity. I've got my church sorted out. And God say, no, I want things to change. No, this last 18, 20 months has been a massive challenge for churches and for leaders. What is church? How do we represent church? How do we kind of do life together, even when we're separated? How do we care for one another? How do we reach out to others? God is in some way being kind of just messing the church up a little bit, if I'm allowed to say that. Because we haven't been able to carry on the way we normally did. And some things are different, and some of us are a bit upset about that. Well, we can't do that anymore. We can't. Well, this is what we should. And God just shifted the goalposts a little bit. And he's saying, hey, think differently about church. We need some more supernatural revelation. When we meet with God, we say, God, show us your way. Ask him for visions. Ask him for dreams. Right? Ask him for prophetic words that will help you, as well as his written word. Don't ignore his written word. Read his word. Don't be stuck in your own historical prejudice and preference. Peter was, no way, Lord, I'm not eating any of that food. And the voice said, listen, whatever God's made clean is clean. And he was stuck in his own prejudice. We're not living in the old covenant where we're under law. We're under grace. Sometimes we Christians, we talk a lot about grace, but we put other people under law. We judge them. We say they're not worthy of God. They need to sort themselves out before God does anything. Well, fortunately, God hasn't waited for us to have sorted everything out in order for him to be gracious and kind and merciful to us. And sometimes we judge other people for what they do. And I want to tell you, I think I've told you before, it gets worse as you get older. I think I've said before, your tutting gets better and better and better. Look at that, the younger generation. You can end up having all your days tutting away at life and complaining about the younger generation, the BBC. And if we're not careful, we just kind of are stuck. Do you understand? Under judgment, judging other people. We're not under law. We're not under law. We're under grace. We're not bound by our own sentiments or our personal preferences about what God should do or be. And also in this story, remember, we're not saved because we're good. Cornelius, right, was good, was not saved. He needed to hear the gospel. That's important. And then the next thing quickly is, when God speaks to you, take a step at a time. Take a step at a time. Sometimes God might say very clearly, these are the things you should do. Sometimes he just opens a door and asks you to move towards it. Take a step at a time. That's what's happening here. Peter has to hear the vision, see the vision and hear the voice three times. And he's still confused. He's still wondering about it. And God has to speak again and again to him just to bring greater revelation. And already God has prepared because he's sent the messengers from Cornelius. And Peter has to catch up with what God is already doing. And sometimes we have to catch up and it's a step at a time. We may not get the full understanding or revelation. And the Holy Spirit is really patient with Peter. And he prompts Peter, don't hesitate to go with them. And there might be for us something that God is working on our hearts to do. And we're kind of thinking, well, I don't know whether I'm not quite sure. God says, just take the next step. Go with them. Take the next step. Go with them. And things will become clearer. Sometimes we like to see everything sorted. My parents used to say to me, when I was a boy, I was quite keen on sport. I would take part. I was sporty. I was competitive. But anything like a mechanical that I was going on to the fairground, I needed to have some reassurance it was safe. Do you understand? I wasn't kind of reckless. I was a bit cautious. Even though I'd play football, I'd sing, I'd even sing in front of hundreds and thousands of people when I was a little boy, I would do it. But actually, if anything mechanical was going on, I just wanted to make sure it was safe, first of all. And you know, sometimes we need to be those who just kind of trust God, right? Is it safe? Okay, we'll take the next step. Take the next step. I'm not quite sure. I'm not going to hurtle in. Oh, it's okay. God's very patient, but at least take the next step. Don't move back, right? Don't kind of stay there. Well, I'm not going until God's really spoken, because God will say, I have spoken. I've already spoken. So take a step at a time and make sure you obey in practice, not in theory. It's so easy for us thinking because we've heard it that we're doing it. That's the same, isn't it? Sometimes we hear things in the Bible, we think we're doing it, but we're not actually doing it. The next thing, be prepared to cross boundaries. There might be cultural boundaries, religious boundaries, traditional boundaries. Sometimes it might be an age boundary, moving from being an older person, getting interested in a good way with a younger family, reaching out to some neighbors near you. You might think they're not interested in you, but you're just showing some kindness to them. You show some interest in them. It might be moving to speaking to people of a different faith or a different color, different ethnicity. It might be just crossing some sort of, be prepared to cross boundaries. Many years ago, I used to regularly go over to Holland for New Frontiers and meet with the church leaders over there. There were about five churches we had when I was kind of caring for them. And they all spoke brilliant English. You know, the Dutch speak fantastic English. Great people to be with. And I was reasonably familiar, but I went to one church and I preached at one church. Then I went back for a coffee with a couple in the church. Fortunately, there was another Dutch couple who were with me. They'd taken me up to there. I knew them very well. And we went in and said, do you want coffee? Yes, have coffee. Do you want biscuits? Yes, okay. So they gave us a coffee and the biscuits were down on the table, the coffee table. And we were all sitting there and I went across and picked up a biscuit, right? And the host went, and I kind of thought, what have I done? And I could hear this conversation going on in Dutch. I didn't have a clue what they were saying. But I asked the couple later on, and they said, in some cultures, even within Holland, you're not supposed to help yourself to a biscuit or anything like that. The host will offer it to you, and then you can take it. And it was only a small thing. And it was with people I was reasonably familiar with. But I realized there are all sorts of sometimes hidden customs and practices that sometimes you're not aware of. Now, if you're ignorant, you're doing it in good spirit, but sometimes we need to be aware of what boundaries we may be. You know, Paul said, I am become all things to all people so that by some means I can reach them. And we need to hold that as a principle, or as a practice. We need to understand sometimes people's cultures. But don't let that put you off obeying God. Let's contextualize our faith. And also, if we are going to cross boundaries, make sure you're prepared for criticism. Because what are you mixing with them for? What are you doing that for? Why are you spending time with them? They don't deserve your time. See, Peter got criticized. You know, Peter makes a great step forward here. But a few chapters later, Paul is rebuking him because Peter has withdrawn from the Gentiles. So Peter had great revelation, but he didn't continue to live in his revelation. Criticism dulled his obedience, impeded his obedience. And sometimes other people's comments can be the biggest barrier to mission. Because they're saying, don't do that. Don't mix. Be careful. You're taking a risk. Be careful. You don't know those sort of people. When I first went to the Coin in 1991 in Woking, leading the church there, we had, on Sunday evenings at our meetings, at least 50 or 70 gypsy folk used to come and be with us. And it was brilliant. They had a different culture, but they used to be amongst us. And the church in Woking, there was quite a middle-class church, had just been wonderful, not patronizing, but wonderful in just opening the doors to these people. I mean, it was different. And their culture was different. But there sometimes are people that are quickly judged, right? Wrongly or rightly, like all of us. Some things you can see, yeah, it could be about. Some things you think, wow, I've got to be careful of any prejudice here with people. And yet there were wonderful, warm people who loved Jesus. And I was just amazed at the way this great church of people who've been Christian for a long time, many of them white, middle class, right, just really loved these people and accepted them in. They weren't patronizing to them. They weren't looking down. They visited them. They mixed with them. It was brilliant. We need to do it. But you'll get criticism. you'll get criticized. And then be a person who carries the gospel message. If you're going to cross a boundary, if love has no borders, what are we doing when we cross? We're not just doing it for our sake. We want to do it for the gospel's sake, don't we? Now, that doesn't mean to say we grab hold of people's lapels and say, I'm here because you've got to hear the gospel. We go there with love and affection. We get to know people. But actually, we do carry good news. And we should be able to share that good news with others. Peter goes into a new context. And Cornelius opens the door to him, says, thank you for coming. We're here in the presence of God. Now, not everyone will say that to you when you go and visit them. We're here in the presence of God. Tell me what God says. They won't say that. They may not be thinking that, but God might be at work. And what does Peter carry? He carries the gospel. And what does he preach about? He doesn't preach about his vision. I had a great vision the other day. I had a great prophecy. Or I read this Bible passage from the Old Testament. No, what does he share? He shares the good news about Jesus. And when we do that, it will bear fruit. Some of it will find poor soil. Some of it will find good soil. Hallelujah. But let's scatter some seed of the gospel. Wherever you go, be a person who carries the gospel message. The message is about Jesus, an actual person who has lived on this earth, who was anointed by the Holy Spirit, who went around doing good, who was crucified on a cross, who was seen by others raised from the dead 3 days later and ascended to heaven. And these people who believed in him have turned the world upside down. And Christianity is still the fastest growing faith in this world. Whatever you hear about China and Iran and all that, the church is prospering because of the increase of his government and peace. There will be no end. And then make sure, if we do find fruit, that we see God at work and make disciples. Don't put heavy burdens on them. Well, you're from this culture, or you're different, or you've got this baggage. Do you know, I used to find leading a church that when new people came, it was the people who came who were Christians and been Christians from years that carried the more difficult baggage than sometimes the people who had just been saved recently. They carried a different baggage. Do you understand? They still needed things sorted out in their lives. Sometimes I had to be stronger with Christians who wanted to be part of the church, who had some weird ideas and thoughts. I had to be clearer with them. I had a lot more patience, excuse me for saying that, with people who were just recently saved, who were, by God's grace, moving their lives out of a mess. Let's see God at work. And when we see God at work, let's not burden people with rules. What does Peter say? They're born again. What can stop these people getting baptized? They've received the Spirit the same way we did. Hallelujah. And he helps them with their next step. Some next step's been taken out of his hands because sovereignly they've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Right? We'd like to get involved in every part of their life. Oh, have you done this? Have you done that? Have you done that? This, the next step, and all of that. And God sometimes spoils that process, and we've got to just humble ourselves and fit in with him. Are you baptized? Of course you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. You're speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. What else need? Get baptized. Get baptized in water. So make sure when we see God at work, help them to take the next step in becoming disciples. So, as Jesus broke through from heaven's glory and came to earth, he's asking us to break out of any prejudice, any comfort areas where we think we can't go beyond this. Let God change our mind and our attitude if we're restricted in thinking about what he can do and who he can reach. Let's make sure we meet with God. Let's meet with this God who loves us and is full of passion and compassion and loves all people. Let's stand. I'm just going to ask you, if you will, you don't have to, just, if you don't want to, no problem. Just raise your hands. I'm going to pray. Just raise your hands before God and be open before God. I'm going to pray some things for you and for me. Lord, will you release us from any prejudice? Release us, Lord, from any judgments over other people, individuals, or groups of people. Release us, Lord, from our excuses, our presuppositions on who you'll work with and who you won't work with, who you'll save and who you won't save. And would you fill us with your Spirit? We meet with you, mighty God, the Holy Spirit, and you reflect the heart of God. You pour God's love into our hearts. And I pray as we receive your love, mighty God, we will be those that love others. And that love will know no borders, no restrictions, no bias, prejudice. So I pray for myself and these dear folk here, as we meet with you, mighty God, let us meet with your Holy Spirit. Fill us, renew us, cleanse us. Lord, forgive us, and now release us as we reach out and help us, Lord, to do things, certainly within those who are within reach. Lord, not often maybe like Peter, who'd be called to move from one town to another. But Lord, there might be people in our streets, people in our workplace that we just need to take a step towards. Help us to be obedient, take a step towards them. And we long to see your kingdom come and your gospel make a difference in their lives. And then give us wisdom to care for them. So I pray for this church, Lord, Jubilee Church, as it seeks to love you and love one another, but do mission together. I pray, Lord, that any boundaries that sometimes we put up will be demolished in the name of Jesus. And that this church will reach out into areas where it hardly expected to go. I ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.